Plus Hangout. I am Jay Adams from AtlantaFalcons.com. We are live here at Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. Back home in Atlanta is our social media coordinator, Morgan Andrew, and our very special guest tonight, also joining us from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, is Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. We've got a lot of questions for you from the fans, and we want to get into it pretty quickly and get this thing going. So let's jump right in and start out with our first question from Twitter. This one comes from Steven Tyler, 42, who asks, what is your primary goal for this franchise in the offseason?
Hey, first of all, Jay, I'm really excited about being involved with this whole Google Hangout thing. I can actually tell my family and some of my young nephews and nieces how hip I am to be involved in this. So you guys walk me through. Keep me hip on this. Your first question, Jay. What do we need to do as an organization? I mean, one of our main focuses will be to truly add that element of ruggedness to this football team. We feel we have some very rugged football players. We feel we have some adjustments to make, no question about that, across the organization. We've talked about that in the off-season pressers, and we've talked about the direction we need to continue to go. And again, by adding two of our new coaches on the offensive and defensive lines, excited about watching Mike Tice and Brian Cox work with the new groups in the near future. Watching them here at the Senior Bowl, I am very encouraged by their approach, which is definitely rugged, definitely gritty, and definitely will add that element of much-needed consistent toughness that we've been talking about all offseason.
Thomas, our next question from Twitter comes from @FattyTweetTweet. They ask, what do you think is more important for a team's success, the offensive line or the defensive line?
You know, we've talked about that, Morgan, up and down in this organization all the way through the season when we were having our challenges. And quite honestly, it's both. And I know that's a cop-out, but it definitely is offensive line and defensive line. It's very, very important on both sides of the ball. Smitty has mentioned time and again the importance of building from the inside out. We've never gotten away from that. And I will say that it's not just about acquiring, you know, first round or top 10 picks at the offensive or defensive line. It's about making sure that you acquire the proper talent throughout both sides of the O and D lines while still very much being involved and focused on developing that group, which is very important. It's about coming together as a group along those fronts. We know that. It's not anywhere near as an individual as it is some of the other positions. I've said this a number of times as well. I believe in the end, when people look back on this past season and when I look back on the season as a co-team builder here with Coach Smith, I believe I and we as an organization misassessed the readiness for that offensive line to come together. You know, so from the standpoint of having some young people along the offensive line, we were hoping that they were going to develop, you know, quicker. Doesn't mean that they're not adept enough to be a very solid offensive line going forward. We need to continue to develop those guys. They need to continue to come to the line of scrimmage, you know, with the angst and the ability to get after it. And I think we're going to be in a good spot moving forward.
Thomas, you're getting an up-close look at some of the best tight ends that the senior class has to offer here in Mobile. And this next question pertains to that. From Ginger_91 on Twitter, how do you plan to use the tight end position now that Tony Gonzalez is gone?
We all know Tony's retirement is going to affect not only us but the entire National Football League. I mean, he was such a special talent in so many ways. We were blessed to have him here in Atlanta. And honestly, I look back on that trade and I think about how when we brokered that deal, I was mostly concerned that he was going to be here more than a year. Quite honestly, the last thing I want to do is look at you know, Arthur Blank and tell him we just had a visitor for a year. Luckily for us, he was here for 5 years and changed what we were doing as an offense, as a, you know, tight end driven offense here. Nothing against, you know, some of the greats here like Algie Crumpler. More, you know, Tony was a guy who came to the table with so much ability to catch the ball, move around. He was great for Matt Ryan's evolution as a quarterback and his team's evolution as an offense. We know that it's a high percentage shot. We know that it's very important to have adept tight ends within the scheme. We picked up one last year. in Levine Tiloilo. We like how he's developing. Sure, you can never replace Tony Gonzalez. We'll do all in our power to make sure that we situate our offense properly with the right tight ends. And as a lot of you know or may not know, there are F tight ends, and those are more move back type tight ends who are much more athletic, route running type tight ends. And then there are Y tight ends who are definitely the blocking type tight ends. Really, on a roster of three, you would like to have a blocker, a Y tight end, an F tight end, a move tight end who can catch the ball on his routes, as well as that combo guy that can get on the field, that can block and catch if need be. So it's a really unique position, the way that it's run right now in the National Football League, and we're hoping to continue to build in that area.
So neither of the guys in this next question are at the Senior Bowl this week with you guys, but at ALO underscore Rise Up asks, who's more intriguing to you, Barr or Clowney?
Those are interesting guys. I heard rumors that Clowney was around the facility, but I know that he's not participating there, obviously, because he's an underclassman. Obviously, both of those players, one being an underclassman and the other being a senior, are you know, top-notch talents. They're very athletic. They are game changers. There's no question about that. I'd be giving away my draft philosophy and my draft secrets right now if I talked about who I'd rather have. Suffice it to say, both can come in and, again, impact defenses that need the type of defense that's going to not only stop the run, leverage at the point of attack, but also drop into coverage or obviously pass rush on the passer. And that's something that everyone in this league can use. It doesn't matter if they have a marquee pass rusher or not. Those two guys are going to be a definite impact in this league.
Thomas, our next question is also about a guy who's not at the Senior Bowl this week, but this one comes from RussMo18 on Twitter, who asks, what do you think about offensive line prospect Jake Matthews?
You know, Jake's got, you know, such a background as far as being around an historic football family. Interestingly enough, I've heard their youngest brother or cousin or nephew or whatever it may be, he is one of the most talented, and you think about that and you think, wow, looking at a guy like Jake who has all the talent that he has right now, you know, he's got such strong technique about him and such a very developed mind as far as offense, as far as offensive line, as far as technique, as far as the ability to adjust. Those are special traits that, you know, not everyone comes to the line of scrimmage with. So this guy's, you know, obviously going to be a top 10 pick, if not top 5. And, you know, he's going to do some great things in the league as well. And rest assured, whoever gets him is going to be very happy that he's lining up on day one.
Our next question is our first question from Facebook, and it comes from Tashi, who wants to know, how confident are you that those injured starters, especially the ones on offense, are going to be healed and ready to go by the time training camp comes or even the preseason?
You know, as we all know, we had a really difficult season that way. Many teams did. No one wants to complain about it. We've never come out publicly and sort of whined over the fact that we were injured. The fact is we were, and unfortunately we weren't able to pull it all together to pull us out of those tough spots when we were injured. That said, we're very confident that our players are going to be healing. We have a fantastic athletic performance department led by Marty Lazon and A.J. Nibel, who are working very hard and diligently in the offseason to get these guys back. We've had some tough injuries. Fortunately for us, we haven't had a lot of soft tissue injuries, and that's important for us because allows us to know and to realize that we are moving in the right direction as far as training the proper way, as far as keeping our guys healthy. The breaks, the sort of catastrophic type injuries that you can't necessarily control, those are the ones that we unfortunately suffered this year. But bones heal, and that's a good thing. So we're working on healing a lot of the bones and tendons that we've unfortunately tweaked this year. And, you know, right now as it stands, everyone's on target. The fan base will be very happy to hear that, not to single out one guy, but if we're going to single out one who had an injury this year, Julio, number 11, yes, he will be back and healthy and ready to go. He's healing up very well, and we can't wait to have him back in a in the Falcons uniform like most everyone out there is looking forward to as well.
Thomas, this next question comes from the Falcoholic. They'd like to know, what do you view as Lamar Holmes' most natural position, left or right tackle?
You know, Jay, he's got interesting ability to play both sides. When we were scouting this guy and evaluating him, we saw his ability to be what, again, what's very, very important when you're looking at offensive linemen, the versatility aspect. He was a guy that could slide off the left side, and that was his most natural slide spot, so to speak. So to slide off the left side was much more comfortable for him than sliding off the right side. Now, fortunately and unfortunately for Lamar, he had to fill in at both spots this year. That was tough for us, and it was tough for him. I mean, when you're a young guy, basically this was his first year starting, and you have to flip to both sides of the National Football League and go against some of the most, you know, the marquee type defensive ends in this league. As much you know, criticism as our offensive line got and he got, he hung in there pretty darn well for a guy who was feeling his way around in his first year. To answer your question, his most natural spot is right. However, if we move him to, left. However, if we move him to the right side and we keep him there and we keep consistent with him being at the right side, he's going to continue to learn and see things develop on the right side, which is very different than seeing things develop on your left side. So I think in the end we come away with the feeling that we have more versatility maybe than we really thought. And, again, we just want to continue to work with Lamar, spend a lot of good time with him when time permits and the rules permit. And, you know, try to pull out as much potential out of a very accomplished athlete for a 330-pound big dude like he is.
Sticking with the offensive line for our next question, at @ATL_Falcons25 asks, do you feel the O-line was missing that veteran leadership this year?
Now, that was something, Morgan, that was tough for us. And we, as I mentioned before, the idea of sort of misassessing the readiness, that goes in line with what your question may be right now as far as the leadership. In the National Football League, it's very there's a challenge, and you have to be very creative, as we've talked many times before in the media about making sure that when you have a $104 million quarterback, that's just the simple fact that you have to be smart about how you're putting all your pieces together. Some players end up being cap casualties. And what we mean by that, obviously, is there are certain players that their contracts may be too high for the value that we may think that they're, you know, providing us. And at that point, it's up to us to try to make our tweaks on a roster to allow us to, you know, be healthy about keeping, you know, certain players that are going to be, drawing in the most money. That's the reality of it all. And with that, this past season, we made some moves on our team. They weren't the individual moves that we were that concerned about. They were definitely much more the aggregate, and it was a combination of a number of different moves that caused us to falter a little bit from a leadership standpoint along the O-line. And, you know, we had some very good football players here over the years along the O-line. You know, Todd McClure was a heck of a football player for us, and we decided that it was time to retire. And, that's unfortunate at times, because with that, you're gonna have some growing pains. And again, we are confident with the people that we have, as well as where we are looking in the off season, that we'll continue to improve and bolster our leadership along the O-line.
On the other side of that, Thomas, you had a lot of rookies that played in 2013. So, @JerdDavis05 asks, which rookie impressed you most during the 2013 season?
You know, I went over and over thinking about this question. It has been brought to my attention a number of times, and you know, we can look at our rookie linebackers, and we can look at Paul Warlow and how he moved around and how he adapted. Very, very smart football player. Mike Nolan has gone as far as saying he's basically been one of the smartest football players and most football instinctive football players that he's been around, you know, short of guys like, you know, Ray Lewis and some of the special defenders he's been around. So I think that's high praise for a young guy like Paul. I also have been very, very impressed with the way that, you know, our first round draft pick, D. Trufant, did. I mean, he did a heck of a job out there, and the way that he was taking care of business, the way that he covered, made a lot of very consistent tackles. He made plays on balls. He had a presence out there. And what was really, really impressive about him was not only his speed on the field, but that element of swagger that we refer to, and he definitely possesses that. It doesn't matter who he is going against. And I think it had a lot to do with he was out on the field every day, you know, versus guys, you know, in the off season and in the preseason, guys like Julio Jones and Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez in certain situations, and Harry Douglas. He was around some very good football players who helped push him to the limit. So we like where he is. There are a number of other young guys that we like as far as their development. And I think the fortunate thing is we had an opportunity to see a lot of very good reps from a lot of young players. Unfortunately, because we didn't do that well, but fortunately it allowed them an opportunity to see a lot of time on the football field.
So our next question comes from at ATL Sport Reports, who asks, do you think Peter Kahns is the answer at center?
We think Peter Kahns has the ability, the size, the intelligence. He has the versatility as well to play guard because, as we all remember, he played well as an offensive guard in that first year. We moved him this past year into the center. There were challenges. There's no question about that. Those were multifaceted and multi-layered. As we've said, as Mike Smith has said a number of times, our offensive coordinator said, it's not always one person along the offensive line when there's a sack or a pressure given up. You know, there are so many different things. Now, it's up to us in the offseason to actually discern, you know, where those mistakes were coming from at another level and find out what needs to be adjusted, what needs to be worked on for, you know, players like Peter. Peter's driven. Peter's been in there. He's been in there more than anyone as far as in the weight room and in our building, training on his own and focused on healing up a couple of little minor tweaks that he had during this season and into the off season. So I like where he is, and I'm encouraged by how he's focused on trying to improve. And you know, to answer the question, we believe that he is the type of player that can move into that center spot and be a center for many years to come. It's going to be a great competition along the O-line. I know Mike's mentioned that. I will mention it time and again. This is not about who the highest draft pick is or who's making the most money. We will truly have full-on competition at the center position as well to see who is the best to, you know, build up that wall to protect number two, which we know is ultimately the most important thing at this point for us to develop.
Thomas, let's stay in the trenches. At M. Bischoff 63 asks, what physical and mental traits do you look for in an offensive and defensive lineman?
Well, that's a detailed question and answer. We're very specific about what we're looking for in both of those positions, whether it's a defensive end and a defensive tackle. Sometimes we're looking at those big hosses inside, those 330 or 40 or 50-pound guys. Believe me, we need to continue to add in that area as well. We need some girth in there. We need some guys who are just going to hunker down and anchor in there and prevent all that stuff from happening inside. You know, those kind of guys inside, from a defensive line standpoint, usually they have that really gritty, what I referred to earlier, that rugged element to them, and we need to continue to get that. What happens inside the trenches, and some of us know who have been in there, others of us have watched from afar, luckily, it's about getting hit from all angles. And you have to have an element of toughness and resiliency. So that's a big part of being inside, strength, resiliency. On the defensive end situation and outside of the middle area, it's about having the ability, the quickness to shoot the gap and the agility to break through the gap and get to the quarterback and disrupt behind the line of scrimmage. It's also very important for those guys to have very good hands, and there's a football instinct element to defensive line that a lot of people think, they're just putting their head down and going forward. But there's a lot more, and there are a lot more nuances to that game than people give them credit for. Defensive ends, you want those big studs going on the outside and get up and around the corner and turn the corner with athleticism. You know, long arms, long, you know, rangy guys. Or the guys who can switch it up and use their quickness and their hand strength and their hand creativity to fool the pass protector. So that is a big part of defensive end pass rush. And again, Those guys don't come along that often, the really special ones. And, you know, that's something that we're always going to be looking for. And every team in the NFL is looking to have, quite honestly, not only one, but two. Offensive line-wise, you know, to finish this question up, as I mentioned earlier, that inside of the offensive line is key. The toughness, the stoutness, the importance of having a good eye and a good instinct about the player inside to be able to see things as they're happening is very important. They also have to have very good hands, a nice strong punch and anchor to sit down to prevent the pocket from collapsing. Unfortunately for us this year, that interior, that pocket that Matt was used to climbing up into wasn't always there. Again, those are some of the challenges we had, and those were tough for him at times. We're looking to really fortify that pocket and be able to create that pocket so that Matt has the ability to move around, because any adept and functioning quarterback in the National Football League has to be able to move around inside the pocket. Our tackles, as you know, they have to be able to slide with ease off the both the left and the right side. They have to be very mindful of their hand use. Again, they have to be very aware of counter moves. And quite honestly, those tackles have to have how do I refer to this without being crude? Long and short of it is, they have to have a gut check about them where they're holding their water is what I'm saying. They're able to not panic. They're able to hang tough and honestly get beat and the next play come right back like a cornerback, like a quarterback. They're going to have to forget and have a short memory, and that's something that I think our offensive linemen are continuing to learn.
Thomas, our last question of the night comes from Devin on Facebook, who asks, first he says he's always dreamed about being a GM, and he asks, how can he make that happen?
Well, there's something called fantasy football, and I think that's probably the easiest way to do so. You know, honestly, it is such a we have 32 of them in the league, and it's a special position, and I value it more and more every day. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that most people, just to edify a little bit, most people who want to coach football, who want to be a head coach, they're obviously, they become assistant coaches and they work through the ranks and they become a head coach. Most of the people who become general managers come up through the personnel and the scouting ranks. And that's very important. So they're around football all the time. They're around evaluating. They're around team building. They're around the financial aspects of the game and putting the team together. So general managers have a much more broad view of the organization than coaches do. And that's by design. Smitty and I have a fantastic relationship. And to spin off a little bit here, one of the things that I think is incredibly important in the National Football League, and quite honestly in professional sport in general, is the imperative importance of having a very good relationship between a head coach and a general manager. If you're at loggerheads and you're struggling and during the tough times, during the 4-12 seasons, if you're at odds with each other and you're always bickering and arguing, you don't have sort of that unified approach, you're doomed for failure. And that's something that I've been very proud of, the relationship with Smitty. We had our challenges this year. We've stuck together. We know where our focus is. We know what we need to do. We're very confident that with the tweaks that we need to make to this roster, to this organization, that we'll be right back to where we need to be, and that's to be one of the elite considered teams in this league.
Well, Thomas, we know you are so super busy here at the Senior Bowl, so we thank you so much for joining us here on our first Google Hangout. And fans, remember to take a look at AtlantaFalcons.com as we take you through the rest of the week here in Mobile. Thank you so much for joining us, and good night.